Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, the word is out. They're going to talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 650, and old.
The old?
Oldie.
Swinging to the oldies.
Yeah.
KLOU 103.3.
That's a very local reference.
A little bit.
Yeah. So I guess before we get into everything, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us once again from the Forza Crowd podcast, it's Ryan Terry. Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
So we tend to have you on a lot for the horror movies. Is this even considered a horror movie?
No, it's not.
Like it's
no. And
Thanks for joining us. No.
I'm going to try to persuade Kevin to maybe bring me back for something that might be more fun to talk about.
Well, I wanted you on for Escape Room 2, and you said, not going to see that, blah, 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 blah. And then you picked this, and then I heard your reaction to it, and I'm like, well, that's what you get.
Yeah, that's what you get.
Because we all enjoyed Escape Room 2,
at
least for the most part, it was at least pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever watch it again, but like while I was sitting in the theater, I was like, yeah, this works reasonably well. Yeah.
I feel like aged about 15 years while I was watching this one.
it was 18 months if you go by the movie's logic.
Well, that's so not how I felt.
18 months older.
Well, before we get to all that shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. And while you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. And if you wanted to leave a review, that's nice too. And you can also find us on the Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, which is called the League of Show Sharers, because we're hoping maybe you'll share an episode. It's something that helps us out. It doesn't cost you a dime. People that were kind enough to share an episode this week are Librarian Cynthia, Ralph Tribble, Tammy Sherman Powers, Travis Tewitt, Ron Johnson, Chris Falls, Chris Williams, Julianne Jordan, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Pat Andy, Brent Smith, Heather Sachs, Binge Movies, Kathia Woods, We Have the Hulk, Colby Mack, Invasion of the Remake, The Movie Journey Podcast, Geek to Me Radio, Ronnie Castle, Chris Wilson, Feelin' Film, Mike and Oscar, In Session Film, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast.
Ooh.
He still gets the plug because
circumvents the Brad Hyen rule.
We Geek Girls and Matt Neglia.
That's a new one.
It is a new one. So thank you very much. And also don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out and we like you extra.
And so, we're recording an episode next week. So
how about that?
It's on the way.
There you go. So there's all that.
What? God.
You know, here's the thing about this movie that I like the premise.
Sure.
I like the
ending. Oh, it's great. Great premise.
And I like ending and like
the twist ending.
I hate to call it a twist. I would call it a reveal.
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I liked the reveal. I really liked the kind of the moral quandary that puts everyone in.
But the execution of it.
Everything they did to get you from point A to point Z was just awful.
Yeah. It's he. Yeah. This dude's career is probably the weirdest career I can remember a director having. Right, like he comes out of the gate on fire.
I mean, with
three
like,
in a row. I because I think Signs.
Two,
I like Signs a lot.
Two and a half. In a
that's
row.
Fair. That's totally fair. I get yeah. that it's not. I enjoy that movie a lot. I think it's got one of the probably the second best jump scares that shouldn't be a jump scare.
I think there's a lot to like
works.
In Signs.
Yes. And then he goes off the rails.
Well, and even to the same extent, though, I think the village during it is pretty good. And then you get to the end and you're
that's
just
fair.
Like,
I mean, I knew the end of the
Lady
village.
Lady in the Water is one that I like, which doesn't really? Seem to, it doesn't get talked about very much. But I really enjoy Lady in the Water. Wow.
I knew the end of the village watching the TV commercial.
And why was that again? Remind me what you.
Because I was just like, what's going to be a twist? It's the present day. Done. There's your twist. Like, sure, I mean, sure. I just like. I mean, like to me, it was like so obvious. I was like, they're not in the past. Like, that's total.
That's so weird that you would have guessed that.
Though. Yeah, like I mean, and I mean, I think you know me well. Like, if a movie tricks me, I'll own it. Like, yeah, I, you sure. know, what I mean? I'm not like the guy that has to walk out of the horror movie going like, it didn't scare me.
But, I think what we fun. Have here, fun. We have somebody who is clearly, clearly a very good director.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think where he should not. Write.
He needs
and,
help writing.
And it sounds so
yes.
pretentious to presumptuous to say it that way, but I don't think he is what well, he's. I don't think I know he's not nearly as gifted as a writer
it's
as
not
he is
pretentious
a director.
Because I mean the dialogue in this is horrible.
Yeah,
you've got good actors.
Real bad.
Well, now the kids though, I'll give him a pass. I think he is a wonderful talent in the grand scheme of things,
yeah.
but and I'll give the kids the pass because
I don't think
it
kids,
is
they're not
the 6 year olds who are I mean the 20 year olds who are talking like 6 year olds. It was a little weird at times, but I think that their dialogue was I'll give it a pass for being kind of bad because they are supposed to be 6 years old.
But the performances as of
the kids,
adult kids.
So Alex Wolff and the
yeah,
gal from JoJo
I thought
Rabbit.
Those were just brutally bad. Like I was
Alex
like, have you ever been around a child? Like
it is laughable when he's like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember when he's like trying to get to the
is
girl?
This,
after?
Is this the same? Is this the same Wolf brother that was in Hereditary?
Yeah,
Hereditary.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's great.
He doesn't have a good track record with friends and family members. They tend to wind up dead.
You know what I always thought, if I was a director, I know an actor would hate this, but if I was a director making this movie, first off, I'd get a better script. Second, okay, now I got a better script. Here's what I'm going to do. I would keep the little kids on set for the whole movie.
Sure.
And I would have them perform the scene. And then I would tell the adult actor, mimic that.
Okay,
but
that's a great strategy,
and I know that like an actor would hate that because you know they don't just want to parrot back and impersonate someone else's
right.
performance, but they're supposed to be impersonating that performance.
It's also,
so why not do it right?
They're also so far removed. I think the gal from JoJo Rabbit, I looked it up because I have issues with how she was filmed because it's a little overly sexualized for a girl that's supposed to be 11.
Oh, you haven't read the graphic novel this is based on.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was based on a graphic novel.
Yeah. It's
okay. It's a French graphic novel.
Well,
so
I don't
forgiven.
It is like so she's supposed to be 11 and she's growing up, right? Mm-hmm. And the girl they get to
I wouldn't say she's growing up, right?
Fair. Yeah. Physically she's growing up. And like just the way that he is shooting her with the camera is like, "Bro, she's 11. Like this is not." And I understand that the actress is 21, the teenage version of this character, but it's like, can we put her in? I don't know. Just the over sexualization of this character seemed really weird.
Just to remind you, we reviewed both Blue Lagoon films.
I didn't.
No, we don't want to be reminded of that. Just
but like she's 11, and then you've got the other character, the mid-sized sedan.
But he doesn't film the 11-year-old. Actor that way,
right?
He you know, but
she's wearing the same swimsuit that the 11-year-old is wearing, and it's smaller.
I feel like that's purposeful, though.
I think it is.
I mean, not from a pervert way. I was giving him a pass because I don't feel like he's got a history of being lecherous with
no,
his
I would
filmmaking.
Agree with that.
I thought he was trying to make you uncomfortable. Of like, here, this character is 11. And, but
if the suit did not get tighter, then that would be it would not suspend the disbelief because it's like, oh, well, naturally you're going to outgrow your swimsuit, because we address it with Alex Wolff's character. Sure. Like, oh, there's a he ended up wearing a towel for you know, I guess half the movie or whatever. And then I don't know where he found his suit, because I know the one girl got her mom's extra suit.
Yeah.
Who brings two suits to the beach anyway?
But he's on vacation for a week or whatever. I mean, the dad probably had two.
I thought it was
swim
the dad.
Trunks.
The dad.
Yeah, but I don't bring them both
at that
to the beach.
For the day excursion?
If the mom's bringing her second
I'll bring
one, maybe.
Two, and it's like I go back and forth, and I let the one dry out the next day and put on the fresh one.
One's your fancy one.
Yeah, one's my.
Maybe he poops his pants sometimes and you need a replacement. I don't know.
But yeah, I just thought, and then there's the awkward
just
scene.
Real quick, talking about the girl.
Let's go back to that for a second.
Talking about the girl real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I misremembering the trailer? Because I felt like in the trailer there was a scene where, like, the dad was checking out the daughter. Like, the dad was just, like...
I think it was cut that way.
Okay.
Well, which one? There's two dads. There's two daughters. What are we talking about?
The main dad. The dad that was too short to be dating.
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Yeah.
As a short guy, I appreciated the nod, but we all know in real life that's probably not
going to happen.
Good.
That's pretty good. So I definitely remember what you're talking about, but
she's
feel
like, Dad, why are you looking at me like that?
And, but that may be just out of context.
It could be, but I don't remember that line in the movie.
I think I remember her saying, Dad. And then him looking, like, because you don't see them.
You
don't see the older versions of these kids right away. Like,
maybe I'm misremembering.
Well, let's get into the premise of the movie so we can kind of deconstruct some of this stuff.
They go to a beach to get old.
Yeah. So they go, there's this family, and you can tell that there's a little bit of tension between the mom and the dad. But this, you know, they don't tell you what it is until, like, what, an hour and into the movie.
I think it's a lot earlier than that. They're back at the hotel.
It's in the first act.
They're in the hotel.
You've got
kids
in the living room listening in on their parents arguing.
And the mom is kind of like, can you believe I found this place? And, like, I got it so cheap. So they go to this all-inclusive resort. They've got, like, special drinks that are given to them. They're welcomed with open arms with the least creepy host I've ever seen in a movie that's supposed to be a normal person.
Yeah.
And
you know, the last time a group of people got an all-expense-paid trip to a exotic resort like that, I still know what you did last summer.
No, it's Fantasy Island. Remember
that too
on Blumhouse Fantasy Island.
Yes, sure.
Yeah,
that's the right reaction, Ryan.
It's a shame. That is a horror movie. Could have been amazing.
Could have been.
It could have.
Yeah.
It's like that's what you remake. That's one example of remake bad movies. That could have been good.
Yeah.
That is a bad movie that really could have been pretty
good.
Should
have worked, and it didn't. So, you know, things are going fine. They're enjoying their time at the resort, and we get the inklings that there's a little something going on with the mom and the dad, but they're trying to push through it just to give these kids, like, one last vacation. So,
it's a masterclass in how not to do exposition, though.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's what I mean about him.
Let's have a character that walks around and asks everyone their name and occupation. Like, right?
But, hey, what do you do? The relation between the kid and his uncle. There's no way that there's no chemistry between them at all. There's no way that this guy is this kid's uncle, because there is just like custodian maybe uncle. I'm not buying it, because there's like no relationship there.
What Ryan is referring to is there's a local boy that, like, bums around the resort and ends up making friends with the Alex Wolff character as a little boy. Like,
but his
two
uncle
little,
never lets him stay in contact with any of the people that he meets.
Gee, I wonder why.
But also, everybody's going to leave in a week anyway. Like,
not stay in contact with, like, Skype or whatever. And that's why he's like, maybe she'll let us Skype or Zoom
FaceTime.
Or whatever. And then he's like, I don't know, because it never happens.
He's like, I don't know, man, you're going to die. So good luck. The Alex Wolff character...
God, that
little...
name and occupation thing, though, you're
that was
right.
Pretty annoying.
Because first of all, the parents would be like, stop. That's rude, right?
Yes.
So, like, they do it so much. One time, okay, but then the second time, be like, that's not right. Trapped on a bus, name and occupation. Like, that's not right.
Remember, we had to do that, though, because we totally have to set up the Old Spice guy as the police officer at the very end of the movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That was the only possible way that
totally.
We could have learned
and that's
that
why
Old
I said,
Spice man was a cop.
That's why I said it's a masterclass in lazy exposition.
Yeah.
And bad dialogue writing. Like
that guy could have taken one phone call and been like, "Hey Sarge, I can't help you with that file.
Or I'm on vacation.
Put Martinez on it." You know what I mean? Like you could do it any other way than that.
Yes.
Or you could even have it like, I mean, I know plenty of people in that profession have their badges on them at all times.
Yeah.
Right? It could be sitting on a table.
Yeah, you show him
in a foreign country. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
put his badge in his pocket. I mean, you could have shown it anyway. And I like that they should have done it where you have to catch it, but it's not said. They should have shown his badge.
Yes.
Putting it in his pocket. Just,
anything else.
Anything.
Why do
the kids could have been playing cops and robbers, and he corrects them on how, you know, like, no, this is how you perp walk a guy. Like, that's, you know, but, and the other thing that really caught me off guard was just, like, how just nakedly bad the writing was when the wife who has epilepsy has her seizure at the hotel.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, "I'm a doctor. I will help you." And then the husband who's bent over is like, "I'm a nurse. My name is Jaren." And
yeah, like, I know. It's so bad.
And
nobody interacts that way.
And then it was like, why would you declare your occupation and your name in that moment?
No,
you'd be like, "She has epilepsy and this is what's going on.
My name's Jaren and I'm a swimmer. She has epilepsy."
Yeah. And then he's like, and then he says, "Okay, nurse." And he's like, "My name's Jaren."
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I thought that was
all
weird.
That was missing was, "Hey, MTV, this is Jaren."
And I could have swore to God he said Jared.
I thought he said Jared too.
Like, cause says it twice really clear. And because when he got to the island and said Jaren, I was honestly like, wait, that's not the name he gave.
Did you just pull a Pulp Fiction and change your name in the middle of this movie?
Yeah, I was just like, that's not the name he gave, but I guess
right.
And it was.
So the curator of this resort says, you know, the family's eating breakfast, they're having a good time, they're debating on what they're going to do for the day, and he says, he kind of leans over and says, "Hey, have I got a creepy beach for you? Let's all go to the private beach. I don't tell anybody this, but you got to tell you, if you're going to a resort and they're telling you something special, they've already told 16 other people, so don't worry about it. You're not special."
Here's the thing. when you're in a foreign country and they say, "I'm going to send you to a secret, non-disclosed location," the correct answer is no.
Nope.
Like, well, that's,
I'm good.
Like
I've seen
timeshares. They've obviously never been to one of those timeshare things because you're supposed to, you always go in. No.
Yeah.
So they live in the land of timeshares.
Although I will say, if forced to choose between rapid aging on a beach or a timeshare presentation,
I'm taking the timeshare.
It's a jump ball. It's a jump ball.
Well,
you're going to age quickly in either one of them.
Yeah.
So
since we just set up a ton of characters, I do want to say this cast, I think, is terrific.
It is a great.
He
you're
is
totally
set
right.
up.
Yes.
Just to run through this real quick. So the main family that we've got. So you've got Gail Garcia Bernal, who E tu Mama Tambien. Vicky Krebs.
Oh, I saw E1 Mama Tambien, but I never got around to E2.
They wrap it up in three.
And then Vicky Krebs.
Oh, there was a three.
Vicky Krebs, who was in The Phantom Thread, who was really good in that. Rufus Sewell, who you know from whatever.
I got to tell you, that dude is probably one of the most underappreciated actors who should be getting more work.
Anytime Rufus Sewell shows up in anything, he's a very interesting just to look at, and you know what I mean?
A great like three-part, I guess it was like a BBC miniseries called Zen, that if you haven't find it, because it is amazing. He's so good.
He's kinda Dr. Doom.
Be Dr. Doom. Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Mads Mikkelsen. He just has
that.
He has something about him. And I mean, sure, maybe they look a little similar, but just the way that they have an interesting look and the way they perform where you're just like drawn into their performance.
I love that guy.
But anyway, so they've got, those are the two parents. Then the other dad is Rufus Sewell. I'm not sure who that was that he was married to. I didn't
know Instagram
her.
Model.
Well, yeah, I don't know who that young Abby Lee is her name, but I don't know her. And then you've got the kids. So you've got the older kid, Alex Wolff, who we already mentioned, and you know him from Hereditary. Thomasin McKenzie, who was in Leave No Trace, which
JoJo
is amazing.
Rabbit.
Yeah, JoJo Rabbit. You need to see Leave No Trace with
Who's
Ben
that?
Foster.
Oh, okay.
They're a father and daughter who are in the woods.
Oh, is that her?
Yeah, I believe
she's
so.
She's the daughter?
I think so.
How old is Ben Foster? That can't be right.
Well, Ben Foster's got to be in his 40s or something. He's been around forever.
I mean, he was on 6 Feet Under.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the first time I noticed him was on 6 Feet Under.
But yeah, so she's the daughter.
Did he get nominated for that? Or was it that people were saying that he should have been nominated for that?
I don't know. I mean, somewhere on the internet, everyone
should be nominated for something.
I've been nominated for three Tonys on the... on the internet.
What's the podcast equivalent of a Tony?
So you've got now that so Rufus Sewell and the Instagram
a Communicator Award. My other podcast won it.
Rufus Sewell is a doctor. We find yes. out his daughter, the older
chief medical officer.
There you
which
go.
Which he reminds us of.
Yes.
Every
okay.
time in
I
every
will,
conversation.
I will give them a pass on that because I totally believe a chief medical officer would do. That.
Would absolutely correct you yep. every time. Yes,
I
you
totally
absolutely
believe
right.
that character would remind you at every moment.
Yes,
that, he
that
was
he's
a chief
medical
officer.
Yes.
This absolutely. Is true. Beverly Crusher oftentimes reminded us that she was a chief medical officer.
So you've got Eliza Scanlon plays their daughter, the older version. I mentioned the older actors because they're in most of the movie. Yeah. You know, once they get past that quick, rapid puberty moment or whatever. But she was in Little Women and a bunch of The Devil All the Time. She was one of the, she was the daughter, I guess, the one that they, was she the one that they drop off and then, you know, time goes by. And
is that Devil All the Time? Which one was that? The Tom Holland one?
Tom Holland on Netflix.
Yeah, that was that was the Tom Holland streaming movie that didn't suck.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
I like that movie a lot.
Yes.
So you'd remember from that. And then you've got, and then Jaren, I was kind of like, M. Night Shyamalan's like, I've seen Lost. He's Miles in Lost.
Oh, see, I think of him as the second bad guy in Rush Hour.
Oh, okay.
So he's got like platinum blonde hair in that.
But, you know, Miles was one of the guys, so the actor's Ken Long, and he was one of the guys that was always kind of talking about the time displacement and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Faraday was like the main scientist, but Miles was like more in the know and comes to the island later and he's talking about like all the science and stuff. So yeah. I feel like M. Night Shyamalan's like, this kind of fits. Yeah, we need yeah. you in this movie because of time.
You can do weird science stuff
exactly.
on an island.
Then you have Aaron Pierre, who is Mid-Sized Sedan. Talk about a guy that also has something.
Weird name.
But oh,
I
it's
love,
a rapper name.
No,
it's
no,
I
totally
love
get
the
it.
Rapper
yeah.
name.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was like, that's totally a rapper
like
name.
And,
guy,
like,
I
and,
dug it.
And they're like, yeah, that's Mid-Sized Sedan. What? And then he introduces himself to the doctor or whatever. And he's like,
as
what?
Mid-sized,
your name
as
is what?
As Mid-Sized Sedan.
Is your surname Sedan?
Yeah, and he says surname Sedan. That was a good line. That was actually good. But his name is Aaron Pierre, and he was in that Amazon Underground Railroad
oh, okay.
film. But he's another one that, like, your eye is drawn to. He doesn't say a lot in the movie, especially
he's
in, like,
striking.
The first half. But, yes, he. Yeah. I think it's with his eyes are yeah. really... Does he have, like, blue
he's
eyes?
He's got, like very bright. Light eyes.
He has yeah. light eyes. And so there's something about just, like, he doesn't have to say anything, but they keep showing him just on the beach. He's
well,
already there.
We're talking about how dreamy he is here.
Well, it's not a dreamy thing, but it's just, like, as far as the
it's
camera...
okay if it is, though.
Yeah, no, it's
okay.
fine if it is. But, like, he has that thing where... You know, some people, actors, you know, like they become actors because
right.
they look a certain way. And this guy, just without saying anything, has a very good facial structure to
right.
where you're just like, and he plays this ominous, creep, like mysterious character in the beginning.
Yeah, because he definitely, yeah.
We'll because the beginning of the movie, the very beginning,
yes,
is a girl
yes.
skinny dipping and he's just kind of standing there on the beach. And then they get to the beach and he's still just sitting there and he doesn't move. He doesn't talk
Did
to
they
them.
Explain why?
Shouldn't he have been a lot older?
That's what I was thinking. Well,
like, that
I
was. That so that was my problem with that. I'm like, that guy should be like 50 now.
But it's like well, they make that joke
well,
about
yeah,
they,
oh, yeah.
how they wish.
Yeah, but
know?
Like he would have gray hair or something.
That could be.
I think they tried to do that joke.
I will, yeah. I will say, I did appreciate the subtle, like as all of our characters get to the beach, like as time as time goes on, it's pretty subtle.
As time goes on.
Like the aging. On the older people, like
yeah.
it is, it yeah. you can see it happening, and it's not like you look at, I'm looking at Kevin, and then all of a sudden I turn away and I look back, and he's like 50 years
no,
old.
They put the wrinkles.
It was very subtle.
Yeah, because, yeah, as you age, the difference between how you look between 40 and 50 isn't radical.
Right.
At least I
they
like to tell
good,
myself.
They did a good job with that. Yeah.
But,
yeah, like back, you know, they get like darker bags.
And then the older you get,
or...
the faster, you know, like you age a lot at the beginning and the end from a physical appearance.
Sure,
I
right,
saw a
sure.
picture of Bob Newhart the other day. I saw Bob Newhart like 3 years ago and now sure. he just looks like this like shrunken old man.
Oh, really?
I mean, I saw him perform live and like,
wow.
and he's still, and he seems like he's still with it, but you can just tell he's like 92.
That
right.
happened, and it's, that happened to James Hetfield. James Hetfield looked all right for a while and
yeah.
I just saw a picture of him. I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
You look old.
It's just, you're right. It definitely happens. So, but anyway, so you've got Mid-Sized Sedans in there, and then I'm trying to think. There's some other people. You know, if you.
That's
if,
about it. You
if,
get M. Night Shyamalan, and you get the gal. I thought the gal who was like the host at the.
Yeah.
At the but like they keep showing her arms, right? And like she is like jacked to the gills. She's got like the she's got like veins, like the bodybuilder veins that like go down your shoulder and then through your bicep. And I was like,
I didn't notice.
Okay,
that.
So like initially this is what I thought. I thought that they were putting them on the beach.
That's Madrid.
To
keep them
young.
Her name is Francesca Eastwood.
Well, oh, I wonder if she's related.
She is paternal half-sister of Lori Murray, Kimber Eastwood, Kyle Eastwood, Allison Eastwood, Scott Eastwood.
There it is. There's the one.
Catherine Eastwood, Morgan Eastwood, AL. How many kids does this...
I mean, Clint was getting busy.
Good Lord. So wait, why don't they just say daughter of Clint Eastwood? Why did they lead with paternal sister of 20 people? But then you click on trivia, it says daughter of Clint Eastwood.
There we go.
And Frances Fisher, for what it's worth.
Okay.
So yeah, that's...
But yeah, she was like, you know... You looked at her arms and I was like, okay, so like they're luring these people to the beach to like keep them young, or there's like they're making sacrifices to the beach to keep.
Yeah, yeah, I thought it was going to be a supernatural
cabin
like,
in the woods kind of thing where it's like we have to, which love that.
I was looking for more of a supernatural thing than a, ambiguous science.
Oh, by the way, we're
like,
curing
cancer. Just like in The Happening, except it's The Rock.
Yeah. We'll get there, but I was just like, so that's where, like, I just want to
I kind of like the fact that we're like, it happens, we don't know why. Like,
I know, but...
Like, what answer are they going to give you that you're going to be like, oh...
None.
Right.
None. Give us no answer.
But they basically did. They basically said that we don't know why it happens,
but
it does.
But don't say it's The Rock. Spoilers, The Rocks. It's so stupid. No, because... He tried to have it both ways. So, yeah, he wanted some kind of a mystery, but then he also says The Rock's put off something, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. You can't give us a kind of scientific, pharmaceutical, lab study answer, but then also have it be something that makes no sense and not even close to explainable. Either make it, let us theorize and speculate what it was.
Sure.
Was it The Rocks? Was it the coral? Was it the atmosphere or whatever? Or give us something that actually could happen. Like, we found a meteor crashed from Mars and that radiation does something. You know, like,
We have zombies.
Give us a science answer that, like, okay, I don't know how that works, but that sounds like something that, whatever. But don't just say The Rocks. Like, I just, what would rocks possibly do?
Well, didn't they kind of say
they
that,
talked
like,
about, like, the minerals.
It was underwater
and the,
for
and
millions
the
of years.
The combination
of
this other thing.
I agree with you.
I'm just saying, I wish they just left it. They did not, because that really threw me off as far as my enjoyment of it. Because unlike Tom and Joe, I didn't like the stuff on the ends. I liked the aging, the body horror, the spookiness of it. Like, I liked the middle stuff, and it was really intriguing to watch how it went down. And then when they got to that ending, I was just like, well, this sucks. This is stupid.
See, I thought I enjoyed the ending because now, like Tom said, we'll get there. When you're faced with what you're faced with, it's like, you kind of
but I
it
think
up.
He thought he was so much more clever than he was.
Always does. He always thinks he's,
and that's not okay. That's
here's
what
the
I'm saying.
This is what we were saying about him is like he hits three in a row, right? Grand slam, inside the park home run, right?
Let's call it a double.
Fine, we'll call it a ground rule. We won't call it a true double. We'll call it a ground rule double.
Okay,
and then he kind of gets on base with the village,
yeah,
right. And then he's like, sucks. Like
Ryan likes Lady Water.
And I'm sorry, Ryan. I appreciate that you like that.
Most people think it sucks. I mean,
that movie's not good. Avatar is a complete train wreck.
But that's just work for hire.
Totally is. Like, and I get that. But it's still your name.
That Will Smith movie?
Yes. Yeah.
With the James Sterling. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Earth.
Well,
After Earth. That was horrible.
And then he comes back with a much smaller budget and does The Visit, which I thought was really
so
fun.
Good.
The Visit was
the visit.
A lot of
this was
good.
Fantastic.
Yes. That gave him enough juice to make Split. And
which awful.
Wait,
no.
Split.
I love Split.
The first
Split
one
was very good.
No.
They were both bad, but the second one was. But Glass was way worse.
I enjoyed Split.
I don't think people would give two squirts of piss about Split if they hadn't tacked on the Unbreakable thing at the end.
Maybe.
Which I think was great that they did it, and I love that they kept it secret and they didn't put it in the marketing, and like that showed a lot of restraint and all the thumbs up in the world for that. But everything before the last 90 seconds of the movie,
I thought
that performance
was
awful.
Yeah.
I thought it was
like
a good horror.
He
like
he should have gotten golden raspberry. That performance is so cheesy and over the top.
It gets weird.
I hate that movie, and I hate the second one.
I
didn't like the first
so
one.
Bad.
I hated the second one.
Yeah,
those are awful.
Well, nothing can touch Unbreakable is the problem with that too. Like,
oh,
Unbreakable's so good.
That I think is his best.
They have
Unbreakable is the best.
He had a lot to live up to, and then it was like this culmination of, well, now it's three
right
movies. Well,
just everybody wanted a twist from him, right?
Yes,
and everybody wanted a twist, and then they were mad when they knew that there was going to be a twist.
He should have just stopped. He should have stopped with a twist movie. Well, he should have put out five movies in a row with no twist movie. Yeah. Like, I'm not that guy. I'm not a one trick pony because he's a good director.
But I honestly feel like he didn't think Unbreakable. I don't think he necessarily saw that as a quote unquote twist.
Oh, like, well, the Sam Jackson reveal?
Yeah, and I think that it, you know, I don't think he was trying to make a twist movie with Unbreakable.
I don't know.
But it is a huge twist.
But I mean, it's got this reveal at the end, but it's not the kind of twist that completely rewrites everything that came before it.
Sam Jackson's in the background causing him to get his powers, or whatever, that is a
post-credit sequence ending, right?
Yeah.
Like if that's an ending we would get at the end of a Marvel movie.
They wouldn't reveal that big of a twist in a... Marvel movies set up the next movie. They don't reveal the movie before it.
That's kind of what they do. Well,
no, they don't...
I guess that's fair.
The whole thing is set up by Sam Jackson created his counter...
Well, no, he was looking for him.
He was looking for him. Right, but everybody died on that train.
Except him.
Yeah. And he... Spoilers for Unbreakable, but you better have seen it and watch it if you haven't.
You got a 20-year head start.
But it's like that... The whole thing that he set into motion, now this guy's living with this stuff, and then he meets this guy and befriends him and doesn't know what his deal is, and then you find out he created that situation.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge reveal. That is a twist.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair.
But then... Science has a twist.
I consider that a reveal, right?
That's
more of a reveal.
That's a reveal.
The thing with the water is like, oh.
But okay, but then the village has a twist for us.
Yes.
I guess he did something before Science, but we don't know what that was.
No, he didn't.
I think he did.
No.
Science was the third one.
It's Sixth
Sense.
No,
before Sixth Sense.
I think he did too. I don't think it was a feature, though. I think Sixth Sense was the feature debut.
Okay.
But there was something before, and I think...
He wrote a kid's movie about a dog or something, didn't he?
Yeah, it was like mid-90s.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't think it was a feature.
It's probably a short film he did before that. So four out of his three first features had twists.
Yeah.
But he doesn't Lady in the Water have a twist?
They all do. Everything has a twist. So here's the thing.
So why did he set himself... Unbreakable was...
I think he thinks so highly of himself that he thinks he's on the level of Stephen King and Hitchcock, right?
Hitchcock is apparent.
And Stephen King...
And I will say, in his defense, I bet you the studio was probably pushing him for twist movies, too.
I don't think you're wrong.
You're Twisty McTwisterson. Yeah. Go twist it. Let's twist again like we did last summer.
That was good. But I think he's a good director, and I really like those movies. And even the movies that aren't that good, I like some of the direction, and I like the atmosphere, and I think he's a good director, but like Ryan said, please work with a writer and stop depending on the twist. Just write a really good movie or with someone else and film it. You're a good director, and it just can't hinge on
this one. With this one, there was such a fantastic opportunity to have a thoughtful commentary on the effects of aging emotionally, psychologically, physically. And they kind of touch on racism a little bit, but that felt kind of forced.
Yeah.
I just got to get that in there.
I was totally thinking the same thing, but the problem
is it's in the book.
But it was like,
it's all there,
but we don't do anything with it. I also like the beginning and the end, and I'm not a fan of the middle because I think the visual effects are great and the practical effects are, because I do believe the aging. But they just kind of exist.
I like people thrown into a situation, and I like to see how they interact. They've never met before. They're forced to coexist.
Yeah.
So to me, that character study was interesting, along with the scares and the practical effects, the body horror, the premise of it, the fact of how people with different medical conditions, if you have Alzheimer's and you go downhill real fast, if you have a tumor that grows real fast without removing, like, I thought it was fascinating.
Okay,
all that
so here's my question
stuff.
About that, right?
Yeah.
So we get to the Instagram influencer who's married to Rufus Sewell,
yeah.
which I got to tell you, didn't figure that out until they were at the beach. I was like, who are these? Like, why are they together?
Oh, because, I thought she was his young wife. He's like,
I showed him the breakfast.
Doctor.
Yeah, but like, yeah. They were on separate. I don't know. It was he was sitting next to the old woman,
yeah.
His mother.
Well, yeah,
we find
his,
out,
he's
but
with
I didn't,
his mother and
I, but
daughter.
They, either way, I was like, oh, they're. Maybe,
yeah,
okay.
I thought it was him and his mom.
That's what
the,
I thought. Like, and then
and that was this spoiled brat, daughter who was who fancies herself the Instagram model with the calcium deficiency.
They just she's the what's his head of surgery. It's you know
she
they,
says
chief,
that?
Chief medical officer.
Chief medical officer.
Oh yeah,
sorry.
It's
yes,
just,
yes, yes.
It's his hot young wife. Yes. And that's all he's doing.
Yes. Okay, so here's my question, right? So we get the mom has a mm-hmm. giant tumor that is growing really fast. They
so
have
this
to
is
cut
the
it out.
Krebs. The
yes,
Vicky
the
Krebs.
The,
yes.
the two the yeah. two youngest. We've got so what? Okay, so when we get the reveal of what happens to Rufus Sewell's wife,
yeah.
What
she
the
has
fuck
a calcium
happened?
Deficiency.
So that
yeah.
causes
so her bones,
her bones
all,
to die.
And they set that's, that up because she was talking
did,
to breakfast
yeah.
about, but you know.
That's what happens. Your bones need calcium and she has a deficiency.
And
so
that was great though. The
like
scene
that?
In the cave, yeah. man, were, I really like that scene.
I didn't
cave.
Like that scene at all. It just felt like it was from a totally different
that's
movie.
That's what I thought. I was
but
like,
that's what we needed more of. Like that, I liked the creepy, like that
but
was,
when they just give it to you once, it just feels out of left field.
I was like, what are we doing?
It felt very tacked on.
I liked it, but I can see what you're saying. Tonally, the movie's a mess. That's also the problem is the way they set it up and stuff, which I know horror movies can be more like La-ti-da, Vacation, whatever, and then they go into this, but once you get to the island and then you're like, what are we doing? It does feel a little mismatched, but I really liked aside from the script, I liked the concept he kept doing. So like everyone we find out, or each party has a medical condition.
Has one person in the group that has a medical condition.
Yeah, and we found out that Midsize Sedan, he has an issue and
he was diagnosed with MS.
Blood clotting.
He had the blood disease.
The
girl
had
MS.
And the girl that died, the skinny dipper in the beginning,
oh,
she died because, because she had MS. And so she ended up like passing out when she was in the water, face down and then drowned and, you know, they find her washed up later on.
Which is, he is really good at the slow scare, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, this is where you get, like, the younger version of Alex Wolff is swimming in the water, and you see, like, the
so
head
that's,
bobbing,
that's,
like, behind him.
Yeah, that's Thomas Ian Nicholas's son. He looks just like him, Rookie of the Year.
Oh,
looks
you're
just,
totally right.
Just freaking
yes,
like him,
I didn't realize
he?
That.
Yeah,
yeah
I
yeah,
thought
yeah,
he did
absolutely.
A good job too. The kid,
he's fine.
But yeah, he looks just like
yeah,
his dad.
Now
like,
you've said
we,
that,
we
yes.
grew up with his dad younger. He was an American
Rookie,
Pie
Rookie of the Year,
Thomas Ian Nicholas. But oh, okay. We grew up with Rookie of the Year, Kid in King Arthur's Court,
American Pie,
and American Pie. When we got older,
yeah.
like we grew up with him as his
yeah.
roles got older. And he's still doing stuff. He actually directs now, and he's in a band. That's I think one of his main
Halloween
things.
Resurrection Zone,
right?
Thomas, yeah,
exactly. So. but anyway, I just thought that was like his kid. I saw him and he was in one other thing when he was younger and you couldn't really tell. But in this movie, you're like, holy
yeah. oh,
crap.
There he is.
That's
but like the reveal of the gal that we see at the beginning come floating through.
Yeah.
And this is the problem when they start to tackle racism. The problem that they run into is they put the argument into the mouth of the crazy person. And I just think that kind of negates the racism
he
argument.
He wasn't crazy when it started.
He, as soon as, yes, he is. He
yeah,
is,
you know,
he
that
is,
was like his, the, he, maybe he's eccentric, but that's when you're rich and crazy. If he was poor and crazy, he'd just be crazy. But because he's rich and crazy, he's eccentric.
Yeah, that's actually, I like that. That's
to me,
good.
When the surgeon was there and he immediately turns to like, what did this guy do to her? Because
well, he's a schizophrenic. They say that, they tell you that at the end. That was
he's
that
already,
was his medical condition. He was schizophrenic.
He's
okay.
already going. So like
he had Alzheimer's, I think, in the book. So I may have been
confused. Yeah, and it's weird because I read it as Alzheimer's. Like I didn't
mm-hmm.
read the book. I mean, like
yeah.
I read what was going on in the film as Alzheimer's until at the
okay.
end they told you he was schizophrenic.
Right.
I didn't. Okay.
Because there it's one line. It's
okay,
easy
I missed
to miss.
That completely.
And the one
so when we get to the reveal of like
researchers
the
are recapping
the
yeah,
mess.
And the
yeah.
one's like he's like I hate to be a broken record here, but he's like you know like. The
stop
schizophrenic
the mental illness
caught,
people
you know,
with a...
caused violence and ruined one of our studies.
Right.
And so maybe we shouldn't have mental health people in
got
with physical maladies.
So
and...
it's the Kevin Smith argument in that when somebody's like, you know, you say these things about gay people and he's like, yeah, but I put that argument into the mouth of the guy that's always wrong. So it negates the argument, right? Does that make sense? And the gal's like, I guess now. So like when you want to tackle racism, I don't think you can tackle it with a person who is schizophrenic because that kind of negates
it, almost excuses it.
Yes.
Like, it's like, well, is,
which
is,
I think is the problem.
Is he racist or is he just crazy? It's right. It's like if somebody has Tourette's and one of their words is a racial slur, like they have Tourette's, like
yes.
That's
yeah,
that,
you can't
that's
just,
different.
Yeah,
you know what
and
I mean?
That was part of the issue that I took is like you can't do that. Like if you want to tackle racism, I think go for it.
Yeah,
as a man of color, him, not me. I think go for it. You have every right
but
to do so.
Now, I will say, flip side of that coin is, you know, mental health advocates are going to say just because you have a mental health issue doesn't mean that you can't. I mean, this guy's still a chief medical officer.
That was a big problem with Split.
Yeah.
That was a big issue and with Split is people had that
yeah,
issue
I mean,
it.
This guy still was successful enough to navigate the world and be a chief medical officer. So maybe, you know.
But
you
I
know,
don't
so,
think he was anymore. I think he was going on vacation because I think he was about to
she
lose.
She says she's like, we're here to give him a break or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I think he was just about to lose everything.
But he still got to that point.
Yes.
And so
I think maybe it wasn't as bad. I'm guessing
yeah.
he's starting, as we see him rapidly
it's
lose control.
Yeah.
I think even in the real world, like it was so bad that
yeah.
he was about to lose it all. And that's why he's under so much pressure because he's this great chief medical officer and he's about to lose everything, his career, his esteemed position, you know, just like
yeah.
his standing in the community. And I think that was
yeah I think so yeah so they're on this beach and things
so
start
the
to
mom
happen.
The mom has a tumor the I'm sorry the Vicky Krebs has a
yeah.
tumor,
but like that even doesn't come into play yet because they're trying to figure out what happened to this woman. And but then the kids start eating and like and I was like, oh, let's not be gross about this, but it's like, oh, it makes sense.
Well, and M. Night Shyamalan drops them off at the beach with this huge...
they're like, why is there so much food?
Yeah, he's
so
like,
yeah.
you've got kids and you'll need
yeah.
it.
I just think it's interesting. It's like, so basically they're setting up that they're studying them as a science experiment and they need to keep them alive long enough to study them properly.
Right.
So they give them a ton of food.
Well, the kids need more food than the adults
because they're growing faster.
Because of their
right.
their
physically
growth
changing.
Spurts that
yeah,
they're
I
going
do like
to be
when
going
like,
through.
God, is that kid eating again? Jeez.
Yeah.
Eating pasta salad with your hands is
gross.
Yeah, yes. that was I could have done without the because they would have dropped them off with paper plates or something. They would,
well, I'm
they
sure there was something in there,
just
but
like
the kids,
no food.
The
I think
kids
it was just a 6-year old being like, whatever. You
and
know?
One thing I really didn't like when
pasta salad's gross anyway.
When they start, this is when they're about to start aging and changing, is that he just throws in some line, one line, and it's so stupid where he's like, or where the kids are like, yeah, even though I'm only 6, my mind, I'm having so many more thoughts.
Okay,
like,
so that is the, that is
because they don't act like 6-year olds the whole movie, and he explains
no.
it with the line of, oh, but somehow my brain is also changing. It's like, no, that no way.
No, that's not how
if
that
you're
works.
Saying people could physically age fast or whatever by magic rocks, okay, fine. But you explain why then
their brain functions are
that
equal?
They would know more.
That wouldn't increase their vocabulary.
Yeah, it's just that was really frustrating to me that part. So that's where it leads it to. Well, this is
or even their critical thinking skills. I mean, for a 6-year old,
I know
they have pretty damn good critical thinking.
That's what
skills.
I'm saying.
I mean, they did try to.
They did establish they did, that he's a pretty smart kid.
They did try to establish right away that he was, you know, precocious.
Okay. Yeah. But even the other girl is like,
right. But
and
that's where it's lazy writing, right?
Yeah.
Because if you want to establish that with one character, I mean, it's a bit of a cheat, but okay.
Yeah.
But then that other character, that other 6-year old,
she didn't act like a 6-year old.
Still needs
later.
To act like a 6-year old.
Yeah. And so I really bothered me when they were older, didn't act that way, and they just had that throwaway line, or maybe it's the girl that says it, whatever. It was just like, oh, but also my thoughts are changing.
That's the super awkward scene where they bang.
Yeah.
Which is in the book. I mean, so to be fair, so he's M. Night Shyamalan's adapting this from a 2010 French graphic novel. And in that, it's a little, it's a black and white, like very simple drawings, kind of almost looks like a cartoon strip, like a black and white, simple drawn cartoon strip. Mm-hmm. But like, it's weird because when the kids are on the beach, like the girls, like they're kids. So like, you know, but the artist doesn't put them in tops. But then as they start growing up, you see them change. And so that's why I think M. Night Shyamalan wanted to present things a certain way, because the whole premise of the movie is based around people getting older and especially how the kids are growing up and changing, because they're the most shocking, right? Like the parents get older, but you don't really notice it. But the kids, that's the big reveal, is when they start aging. And so he's capturing that same thing, but it's just weird because I think maybe it's a French, like a culture thing, but like,
I will say that, like,
I mean,
in my experience, there's a freedom
in European culture.
Yeah.
They're not as uptight about
sex.
And I don't even want to say uptight, but like being topless in
sure,
European culture isn't as immediately titillating, no pun intended, as it is here. And so,
but in the book, I get this not being topless is one thing, but then he still explores the same things they do in this movie with the kids and sexual nature and everything of them getting older and their bodies changing. And so,
but I don't know, that's the story you're telling. That's what would happen.
I know,
all of a sudden these kids are 15 and they're left to their own devices.
Right.
This was especially the issue. When they haven't slow walked into this age of their life.
Right.
It's like somebody flipped a switch. They're going to bang.
Right. I get they're telling that story, but it's still very uncomfortable.
I don't take as much of an issue with the two younger characters, right? Like, figuring it out, that part is what it is. The issue that I take is when Maddox, the oldest daughter, starts to look like a woman, and we know, like, the characters on this beach know what is happening.
Yeah.
And mid-sized sedan starts to like make a move, like hands on her shoulders, and it's like
he's holding her hand at one point.
Pump the brakes, bud. Like, you know that this girl is
pump the brakes, not the 11-year-old.
Correct.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then I guess maybe he shouldn't have adapted the story, but he really
I think the two six-year-olds
happens in the book is what I'm
I don't have a problem with that.
But because the 6 year olds are peers.
Yes.
Right?
They're on the same level. Yeah. They both are trying to figure this out.
No. The mid-sized sedan thing happens in the book is what I'm telling
you. Then you gotta take that out.
I don't even think you necessarily have to take it out, but I think you need to explore it more and tell more of the story about like the moral ramifications of like
that
would
have required
a writer,
but in the book they do it, and in the movie they don't.
Yeah, because I mean that's an interesting story in this context of people aging, and it's like, well, I know that chronologically this girl's 11, but she's looking 22,
right?
And because of being physically 22, she's got all the hormones to get along with it, so she's feeling 22.
And in the book,
I know she's 11 psychologically.
You can see her struggling with that too. You can see her. In this movie, at least, because I think the gal from Jojo Rabbit, I think is a great actress.
Thomasin McKenzie.
She's so good.
Yeah. Maybe there's some commentary on how in our mediation of society do over-sexualize characters who are often under 18. I'll cite mine and Joe's favorite show, Teen Wolf.
Oh, piece of garbage. So. God, it's so bad. Luckily, we got a guy that plays a great Superman.
Just using that as an example, we have a show that is, they're all high school students. Now, granted, they're played by 21, 22, 23-year-olds. But
45-year-olds.
They're depicting, or 25, they're depicting, you know, teenagers. And we watch them through all of their sexual activity. And we're entertained by it because they're hot people and they're shirtless nearly as often as Joe. And I think that's why Joe loves it so much. He can identify with these characters.
Hey, Tyler Hoechlin makes a great Superman. I'll just say that.
But it's not only that. We have other TV shows and movies in which we have characters who are clearly 16, 17 years old. And we're watching them engage in sexual activity, but we're not, like, we're okay with it because we know it's like, oh, well, the actor's actually, you know, 21 years old. So like, but the character isn't. So maybe there's an attempt to do that poorly executed, as most everything was in here. Great premise. I think we can all agree. Great premise. It's original. We need more of that.
Totally.
Very
I agree
poor
with
execution.
That.
Yeah. And maybe that's what he was trying to do is that why are we not okay with what's being depicted in this movie when we're okay with all the shows on the CW? Maybe there was something to be had there.
But to piggyback off that, I think that he wants you to feel uncomfortable, Joe.
I don't think he's
taking this story which explores these things, and while as uncomfortable as it may be, it's bringing up the question of if this happened, you know, what is the difference between people talk about, oh, this person looks a certain age, you're so grown up for your age, but maybe mentally they're not there yet. And so I think the movie is begging the question of, well, just because these characters are rapidly growing, are these things okay because physically they are older than whatever, but they're not mentally developed there? Like, I think he is asking those questions, and the author of the book is asking those questions. And by taking some of those things out, he's losing any any thought process that is behind the story, because the story is about people rapidly aging, and there are a couple sets of kids on this beach. And by taking that out, you're removing the thought provoking, you know, and again, it's not, I don't think he's sexualizing it in a way for the audience. I think he's saying for the characters, because they are, have gone through puberty. Now they look like they're in their 20s, blah, blah, blah. Like, is what they're doing natural? Is it, you know, like the 6 year olds that are now obviously
trying to figure themselves
of age,
out. Yeah.
They're trying, you know, and what would kids do? And if they had these hormones that they just developed, like Tom brought up. So, you know, it's a weird thing, and I get that it's weird. And again, I felt weird and even weirder when I was researching the book.
Sure.
But I get that.
Is it called Old?
No, it's called Sandcastles.
Okay.
But anyway, it's weird, but I also don't feel like M. Night Shyamalan was like Michael Bay filming Megan Fox.
Sure,
it wasn't
sure,
like
sure.
That.
No, I agree.
He just put uncomfortable things in there because that's the story they're telling, and they want you to go, they want you to think about.
I think it's purposeful. Yeah. I think he's trying to make a statement, and I think like so much of the other things in this movie, so many of the other things in this movie, it's poorly executed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think he was trying to be creepy. I think he was trying to get you, like Ryan was saying, like Kevin was saying, he's trying to get you to question how we interact with where the
there's an attempt at expressive meaning, but there's all these attempts. There's attempt at subtext. There's attempts at expressive meaning. There's attempts at thoughtful social commentary. There are attempts clearly at all these things, which shows that a lot of thought went into the global idea for this film adaptation, but they're just, it was like, we're going in way too many directions. It's like, you can't do all of these things. You need to pick one, maybe two, that you can effectively execute.
If you want to
do all of them,
if you want to do that much of a story, that much, tackle that many issues, then it needs to be a television show.
Yeah.
And this could easily be 10 episodes.
Each time could be addressing different things.
I can see that for sure.
So let's talk about the kills. Let's talk about people start dying off
real quick.
The grandmas first.
Grandma has a heart attack. Yeah. Rufus Sewell ends up killing mid-sized sedan because at this point, Rufus Sewell's brain, schizophrenia is done. Like, it's through the roof. He has progressed past, you know, too far gone. The woman who has the grand mal seizures, who was actually on the second,
you would have thought it would have been the old lady who had the grand mal seizures.
Grand mal.
Oh, okay.
The woman, actually, that woman is on seasons 2 and 3 of Luther. And if you've never seen Luther, do yourself a favor and check that show out, because it's amazing.
Her name's Nikki Amica Bird,
who's British and does a very good American accent. I thought that was pretty good.
Most can.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
So she's
but like that, to me, that was the worst, because given the time on the beach, she's just starting them, like she can't stop and nobody can help her.
But she doesn't the whole time. That's the kind of twist-a-roo of it all, on the rewatch you'd notice. So
she didn't have one for 8 hours.
Right. She has a seizure, and he says that she has them quite often, and the whole time on the beach that everyone's rapidly aging, she should have easily within minutes had one, or seconds, because that would represent hours, and she doesn't the whole time until later on. And so we'll come back to that.
But that to me, like, that seems like the worst way to go, because you just can't stop. Like,
horrible.
It's
she was starting
over
and stopping
and over
once
and over
they
and over, yeah.
But before that, her husband dies. He swims out because he says, I was a high school swim athlete. And
on that, Kevin, this kind of goes back to what we said earlier about asking everybody for their occupations. Constantly throughout this movie, we're talking about our occupations, and specific to what was the character's name with the grand mal seizures? I forget the character's name.
That's the actress's name.
She's like, well, my sister's a therapist. And so other than the doctor, which that makes sense.
I thought she was a therapist.
She was.
She is, but we're constantly reminded everybody's talking about their occupations the entire time.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if there was an attempt there at showing that it doesn't matter where you are intellectually or vocationally, you know, everybody dies or everybody has, you know, these ailments. But I found it a little odd that we were always reminding the audience of all these occupations, and then And it's like, you know, and I was a swimmer. And like, yeah. But it was the whole time we're like talking about people's jobs.
I really liked it that Gail Garcia Bernal was an actuary and he was giving the stats on how impossible things were. I thought that was funny. I did enjoy that one. But anyway, but her husband dies first because we didn't mention, which is very important. Why the hell don't they just walk off the beach? Well, apparently the whatever magic rocks are so strong that when they try to walk off of the beach or swim out from the beach, anywhere around those rocks or through the cave made of rocks, you just wake up on the beach.
Yeah.
Like almost like you're teleported. We don't see it.
They say
they always end up on the beach.
They have a massive headache and then they end up back on the beach.
In the book, they don't explain it either.
They like kind of black out. Yeah, like it's almost like if you're scuba diving, you come for air too fast.
Yeah. Yes. Which is what they say.
But in the book, there's a science fiction writer, an extra character that they kind of eliminate, but I guess the journal they find is actually supposed to be an homage to that. But he's like, I guess, you know, I write about this stuff. He's like, somehow they're teleported back to the beach. Like, so they do the same thing, but there's no exposition guy, surprisingly, to say. Yeah, right. Maybe they go back to the beach.
So we lose
the daughter tries to climb out of the rocks. Eliza Scanlon.
Yes. Which I thought was a pretty effective scene where she climbs.
Oh, it was so nerve-wracking.
I was so nerve-wracking.
Absolutely. And you know she was going to fall.
We should say that she gets pregnant. That daughter gets pregnant, and then the baby dies almost immediately because
which is a huge change from the book.
Oh, really? Does the baby survive?
Baby survives, and the baby's the last one alive because they're the youngest.
Oh, yeah.
So that's cool. But in this one, she gets pregnant super fast when her and the Alex.
The line where she's like, it's fine, I just got fat.
Yeah. She gets pregnant super fast, goes into labor. They're like, she should be in labor in a couple minutes by the time, whatever. Yeah. And then she has the baby, but the baby ends up dying. They're like, we neglected the baby for a couple seconds, which was like hours of not.
I got to tell you, though, that was super effective because you never see the baby, but you hear you see like the Instagram model mom off in the distance. You hear the baby crying. They start
to walk over.
You see
the joy and the happiness.
And then you hear the baby stop crying.
And then you look at them. And so, that was a super effective
I thought
thing.
That was very effective.
It's just such a huge change from the story.
And then the baby turns like, man, the scene when the
baby skeleton falling out of the...
It's not even... It's dust. It's just dust.
Oh, right.
But you hear
bones,
him pick it up and
it's
just like click, 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 click. I was like, oh, God.
And then when they
I don't want to see a baby skeleton.
They're going to go like bury it, but then
dust falls
out of the blanket. Yeah. You don't see it, but it's very
You
effective.
See the dust.
Well, yes, but I'm saying is you don't see the skeleton or anything. Yes, it's in a blanket.
And then you got that Kansas song stuck in your head for the rest of the movie.
Right?
Yeah. So then...
Are there any other...
Yeah, so like...
Oh, the supermodel...
Instagram model.
She goes all, super body horror, like twisted up, and she dies in this cave.
I thought the scarier part was when she turns into Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah. But she's like, don't look at me, don't look at me. And then, man, that was gnarly when she's so there.
Yeah.
She's
That's how you knew she wasn't Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah,
because Kellyanne Conway wants people to look at her.
But she's crawling through to get away through the caves, and her bones, she's
start to, like,
hitting
warp.
Them against the sides.
Oh, man.
I mean, that was a great, like, horror.
It was good body horror.
I really like that body horror moment.
And then, so the mom and dad are aging normally. Right?
Oh,
so
Rufus
old.
Sewell tries to attack the dad because he can't see and he starts to get really paranoid.
He starts to go blind
and
the
then,
mom starts to go deaf.
And the mom, what does she find? She finds a knife or
she
something?
So they have found like this sandbar full of stuff.
Yeah.
And she finds like a rusty knife.
Okay.
And she cuts Rufus Sewell with the rusty knife and she's like, the bacteria in this rust will
turn to poison.
I like it. It's like tetanus, right? Like you get a tetanus shot.
Yeah, that's a good use of the
beach. That was a good, that was smart. That was one of the smartest things was that, that a rusty knife that your body would also expedite because of the aging, the blood poisoning. I thought that
was
really clever. I
like
that.
And she was like, my job is studying rust.
That shot through the rib cage of the girl on the beach.
Good shot.
That's an awesome
shot. Good
shot. They filmed them on the beach walking up to the body, and then you see the camera through the rib cage.
And I thought, that's a good it keeps it PG-13, but it gives a good representation of how fast things are changing. Yeah. So now we're sitting on the beach, and
it's the family.
And the dad is going blind, the mom is going deaf. And I thought they did a really good job. I mean, I remember talking to my grandmother before she passed, and she would do like that shake, like the head shake. Like if you go back and watch just that scene of like the way the mom in this scene is moving, like there's just a little bit of like a almost Parkinson's almost
like a little tremor.
Like,
both
the tremor.
Of them play the age really.
They
well.
Do it really well, and like even the way the dad like turns and kind of smiles, I'm like, oh man, that is creepy because and not in a bad way, but like you are. Yeah. You've captured this old man moment.
The getting, okay, stuff like removing the tumor from the mom, you know, like it was a tiny one and then it was the size of a golf ball, then it was a grapefruit. Yeah, and I thought that was gnarly and a cool concept. Cutting and then healing cuts instantly,
yeah.
How your body would rapidly heal.
When Rufus Sewell did that to Midsize Sedan, I thought he was trying to prove a point.
I did too, but he
realized
really
he was just crazy.
No. But yeah. But the cut healing and seeing it, again, there's some great concepts and why I like all the exploration in the middle. Not that it was executed perfectly, but I like all the concepts that he was going for.
Right.
And then I just didn't really like bringing it back to the real world because I'm like, no, explore
more.
So
that's what happens is both mom and dad die of natural causes. It's not bad or anything. They just both die.
I mean, it's pretty bad, but
I mean, it's like,
causes,
but it's like,
yes.
You know, they're not whatever.
They go to sleep.
They weren't murdered.
Yeah.
But because of the time, right. I mean, hours is years. And they
so
just...
now we wake up in the morning and our two kids are... adults, full-blown adults.
The casting in this movie is great.
Yeah, they look like themselves as adults.
But all ages, kids to midlife to adults.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap,
that's pretty
good. A good job.
So they realize, like, this is it. And this, we're not going to get any further. Nothing, you know, we're not getting off this beach.
And he says, oh, my friend back at the hotel gave me a code to solve. I never solved it. And you're like, oh, my God.
So, of course, the thing
like,
says...
We don't attempt to... Because he saw the first one as soon as he got it.
Yeah, right.
He saw the first clue. So why wouldn't you solve the second one?
Because he was too busy boning.
Well, he solved the first one.
Cryptograms aren't so enticing when there's vagina in play.
He solved the first one as a kid.
You're not wrong.
Once he saw Ice Cream Social tomorrow, he said, what else could be in this note? But they find out
that the note says, my uncle doesn't like the coral. So they're both like,
instead of saying, you are going to die. Do not go.
Right.
We had all this opportunity through the whole time. People don't, even if you don't know they die, people don't come back.
I don't think the kid even would have thought. He didn't know. Like, he knew weird stuff was going on. Like people not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
He knew his uncle didn't like the coral? And I don't think the kid's
well,
been
heard
to
him,
that beach before.
He said he probably heard him talk. No, he said that he probably overheard him because
he's just kind of lurking around everywhere. And, you know.
But the six-year-old kid did not know they were killing people with science experiments. Like, you know what I mean? To his credit, I think it's just like something that he thought of. Like, he's always talking about this coral and what can I decode? Yeah. But anyway, so.
So, yeah. So they swim out. Alex Wolff's character, I don't know what the character's name was. The kid. It doesn't matter. Alex, the boy.
Trent.
Runs back to the beach, grabs this, what we'll find out later is the book that they find.
Yeah.
They swim through the coral. They get out. This is where we get, we think they get, we don't know. But we get the reveal.
Hold that thought there, Joe. Okay, so if we've established that not only animate objects age, never mind we explain away the hair and nails, which didn't make any sense because when you're in your coffin, I'm pretty sure I've heard that your hair and nails
they do
grow.
What you see might be dead, but it's growing because the stuff under is pushing it out.
Right.
So like, yeah,
the book is still intact. I mean, we've established that the other serving ware from the hotel, you know, I know paper isn't going to rust, but
no,
paper's
it's
going
been out
to
there
disintegrate.
So long. It would
and
rust
50
within,
years
no,
out
no,
there.
No.
It's gonna like fall. It's
no,
gonna
no,
fall
no,
apart,
no, no,
but
no,
the book
no.
still looks
right.
Good.
The silverware does not age. It's been out in the elements of the beach and water.
I think
and
if
rust.
You left a journal on the beach for 50 years, that the you're
it wasn't,
still gonna
it wasn't
be
out
able
there
to flip
for 50
those
years.
Pages.
But in the time of the beach, it would have been.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't age.
But everything.
No. But it's organic stuff is
nothing,
aging.
Yeah, no,
oh,
silverware does not age. Books don't age. What I'm saying is that silverware is all rusty because that would happen in a matter of weeks out in the elements. The book doesn't age. The silverware isn't aging. So that makes sense.
The book would have been nasty next to the seawater, though. Salt water would have damaged that book.
I think it was in a bound in a thing and in a backpack or something. I mean, I think it was...
They brought it back in a plastic bag. That is
true. It was buried in something. So yeah, I'm just saying that's not...
Either way.
I would, yeah.
This is the big reveal is that this...
There's a lot to pick apart. This probably isn't the hill.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, right. the reveal is that this has all been a setup. This whole resort is a setup, and they only invite people who have very specific diseases or illnesses or ailments. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to develop cures for these things. And when they say our Grand Mal Caesar patient didn't have a seizure for 8 hours... in the real world, that's 16 years or something.
Or like 60 years.
It's basically,
like, we cured seizures. We've cured this ailment. So it's like...
It's like every hour is 2 years.
So they're not the...
Roughly.
Yes, they're the bad guys. But they're also...
But their motivation isn't bad.
No, like, it's not bad.
And I dug that. That in the grand scheme of things, they're doing more good than harm.
Right. But it's still completely unethical.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where I think you really, I get that he thinks that's clever too, but in my mind, I'm like, yeah, but stop at that point, unless they're going on their own accord to be a part of the science experiment. They are the bad. Like, they're completely.
Well, you're not. Here's the thing:
I don't care what a lot of bad guys think. Let's wipe out half the world's population global warming.
But I like that aspect of Thanos, right? Like that it was like that. He was in. You know, like his motivation wasn't just mustache twirling.
I don't
want to
take over.
Yeah.
Totally. No. And I get that. So I get that their motivations were more interesting. But to me, like it all falls on you're experimenting on humans without their consent. And so while the people's thought process is more interesting than let's just kill people on a beach, it's still just like, nope, they're the villains. Like that's
no, totally.
You know, yeah.
So then, you know, they
like, it didn't make me question it is my point.
Oh, like, I wasn't like, well, maybe, but
I think he wants you to question it.
I was more just like, oh, I like the fact that they're not just evil.
They're not just killing people to kill people.
Yeah. That it's, I mean, look at what we got for the motivation behind Escape Room.
Right. We're bad guys.
We're bad guys, and rich people want to watch people kill each other in weird ways, and they pay a lot of money, and we live stream it, and nobody's
ever... Which is probably
more
believable than pharmaceutical companies trying to actually help people.
Well, they're willing to kill people to make a bunch of money. They're not going to give those drugs away.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You know?
Fair enough.
I think this is kind of spot on.
So he gives the Spider-Man...
What?
Far From Home exposition dump in the bar.
Oh, sure.
It's terrible. The scientists do the same thing Jake Gyllenhaal does in that terrible scene in that pretty bad Spider-Man movie where he just dumps the whole exposition there. It's awful writing. It's where they all cheer and tell each other about the research they do as their professional career.
Yeah.
Oh, so then we did this, which did this. Like, you're telling the experts that are doing this stuff what they do? It's that is one of the worst things in writing, one of my pet peeves. Is when they have the people in the situation talk to each other like they're explaining it, because they're explaining it to the audience.
Right.
It's so dumb.
So they're welcoming some new guests, and just as we get the older version of Alex Wolff walks up, he goes,
"We thought they were dead because you didn't mention that the sister got her shirt stuck in the coral, and then they never show them coming
up.
Just
take it off. What are you doing? Why are you struggling? Just take it off."
But I will say, people in those moments panic.
That's
lots
that's
of people drown because they panic.
And there's
that's...
way either of them can hold their breath that long.
No,
that was
long
incredibly
time.
You need to give us the
time.
Explanation that they're swim team champions because just getting to the shirt stuck part, I'm like, oh,
totally.
There's no way you'd survive. Yeah.
Well, I guess they do kind of say they never show. No, they pop their heads up but they don't show it until after the fact,
but that's why I said to the point of the stuck shirt thing, that was a really long time underwater, physically, you know, struggling against the waves and stuff. I don't think they'd make it to the head pop-up part, but at least they do show them halfway getting air, because if they made them go the whole way underwater
so he gives we see the cop from the beginning of the movie that they established is there.
Police officer I talked to earlier.
Yeah.
Gives him this book that has names and addresses of all the people that were on the beach at one point or another.
And they're all missing persons.
And then as the new group of folks are coming into the resort, Alex Wolff and the other one, Maddox is the character's name. Trent and Maddox walk up. They're like, "I'm Trent, whatever, and I'm Maddox, whatever, and this is a bad place."
Yeah.
And
out of their hands. They custom make their welcome cocktails to have the medication that they're testing them with.
Correct. And then all hell breaks loose. Everything, they shut the whole thing down, and that's kind of how it ends. I was bored out of my mind.
I was captivated the entire
I enjoyed the ride, even though it was not well done.
I enjoyed the ride completely until the end, because the whole time I'm thinking, what's going to be the twist? I'm like, I want to know the explanation. This is fascinating. And then when they got to it, I'm like, oh, magic rocks.
See, I guess I felt like the
this ride equivalent was that Fast and Furious Supercharged at Universal.
I don't see how that's possible, but
it's that's about as much as I enjoyed That ride is as much as I enjoyed the ride of this movie. Fast and Furious Supercharged doesn't go anywhere, and neither does this movie.
I think I had made my peace with the fact that like the explanation for the aging was never going to be satisfying. So like sure, whatever they said, it. I was just like, okay, whatever.
Stop giving us explanations.
And to me, they kind of didn't, so I was okay with it. But all the dialogue and the exposition, the character development was awful, it was such a waste because like this could have been a really cool movie.
I will say, I did get the trailer for Halloween Kills at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, which I did too.
I have avoided altogether. Like, I don't want to see it. And then I saw it, and I was like,
"Pakaw!" Yeah, I said the same thing to Kevin. So good. I don't seek out trailers. I don't post them. I don't share them. I avoid trailers because they're cut together by marketing companies who just blow their load, and they have no concept of when to hold the cards back.
I'm glad people are coming around because I've been this way for years, and recently I see this online, people saying like, I don't watch trailers because they just use all the bubble. Like, I'm like, yes, this is what I'm saying. Why do you watch trailers?
Yeah, the Halloween Kills trailer.
I was disappointed. I'm like, I'm still looking forward to it. It's the one I'm looking forward to most all year long. I know I'm fairly confident I will be disappointed because I just saw, I think, every kill that's going to in the movie. But I saw Malignant and the Candyman trailers. And so had I not been at the cinema, I mean, that's the only place I ever see trailers. And even sometimes mind being late because I even try to miss them when I'm at the movies. I just happen
I
to
too.
Be
I
in
just
this
show up
one.
20 minutes late.
Yeah, yeah, I do just because I have things to do with my time. Yeah. I'm like, I don't need to sit here for 30 minutes. This is dumb.
But yeah, I got the Candyman trailer, the Halloween Kills, and I was like, all right,
yeah,
looking forward to the fall.
But well, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And Ryan, where can they find you and your wares?
Sure, you can follow my my Twitter at RLTerry1, and you can also follow my show, my sitcom Forza Crowd at Forza Crowd Pod, which on two episodes we had a very special guest star, didn't we, Kevin?
We did, and I did make sure to mention it on here, so hopefully some people checked that out, and it's a fun show.
But listen to it even though Kevin's on there. But I guess if you're here, you've already overcame that. So, and you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. I guess next week is Jungle Cruise.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, an 84-year-old infant dies.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.